Hello, grievers. Today on the Leftover Pieces Suicide Loss Conversations podcast, you have reached season 2, episode 2. And this is one of my solo mini episodes where I go down the rabbit hole. Today is our first journey back down the rabbit hole in a new season. And I felt led to discuss a couple of things that are intertwined, really. Acceptance and change after suicide loss. How do we do both of these? So, as often happens when I'm thinking about these mini episodes and what I want to discuss with you, I draw from things that are thought-provoking to me. And the inspiration for calling these episodes Down the Rabbit Hole for me is obviously Alice in Wonderland, which I find a lot of inspiration in books and novels and even the movies that are made from them. So I'm just going to start today's episode with what inspired me to talk about acceptance and change. And I'm going to be fully honest with you. This quote, this little section of stuff I'm going to read to you does not come from the Alice in Wonderland books written by Lewis Carroll. It's more of a paraphrase, and it was actually what Johnny Depp's character said in the movie. But nonetheless, it's where my inspiration came from, and it's there's a scene where Alice and the Mad Hatter are having a frustrating exchange after she has said that she refuses to go slay the Jabberwock with the Vorpal Sword on Frabjous Day. And I won't even go into all of the meanings that I take from this as far as what the symbolism even is in Alice in Wonderland with the fact that Alice has to slay the dragon. So that's a whole nother piece of this that I could get off on a tangent on, but I won't for this time. But we all know that that's partially what's going on here, is that she's trying to face slaying the dragon or slaying her demons. And that's something that, you know, I know that you can relate to as well. So the Hatter starts off this frustrated conversation by saying, "You don't slay." Alice says, "I couldn't if I wanted to." She's defeated at this point, you remember. Hatter says, "You're not the same as you were before. You were much more muchier. You've lost your muchness." "My muchness?" Alice says. And then the Hatter points gently to her heart and says, "In there, something's missing." So I'll just let you sit with that for just a second, because if you didn't ever think of Alice in Wonderland before, I probably just got you thinking about it. But it just goes to show you that in so many places, we can really find other people talking about the fact that things change us. Disappointment, loss, death changes us. And remember, Alice lost her father. That was at the heart of what journey Alice was on. So now I'll kind of step into my thoughts on the whole acceptance thing and the fact that so many people in our life, probably if we're fair, including ourselves, often think and sometimes say out loud things like, "You used to be fill in the blank." And that's true. There's so much after the loss of our loved one to suicide that just used to be. So how do we get to the place of understanding or accepting what's really happened, as well as accepting that we can't go back and accepting that change is the only way through? So for me, even though the word acceptance is traditionally part of that paradigm of the 5 stages of the Kubler-Ross model of grief, most of us today don't necessarily prescribe to those 5 stages. And there's kind of been a revision in the therapeutic community to accepting more like 7 stages and not considering them as steps that you walk through like they're neat and clean, but they've kind of redefined it as these are the main things that occur in grief and given it the number 7 as far as the things that people go through and allowed it to be more fluid in nature. So in defining acceptance, it means that we actually have to embrace the present, the good and the bad of the present, which means being able to embrace the loss and more specifically, exactly how our loved one's life impacted the life that we're living today. So it goes along with everything I say about my beliefs on this type of grief, the grief after the loss of someone you love dearly to suicide. You don't get over this grief. You learn to live alongside of it. You learn to go forward and let it come with you and let it evolve as you go. So there's 2 things I see with not being as muchy as I used to be. I had to learn to be okay with being somehow a lesser version of what I was. Eventually, that gave way to being a different version of what I was to what I am now. But initially, I just had to accept that I wasn't the same. And in my eyes, I was less than I was before. Stay tuned as to whether I really still feel that way. But it just is what it is. That's how I felt. And I'm sure that's how many of you feel. Then we have to find out who we are. That's the other thing. So who are we now? If I'm not the same, or if I'm somehow less, then what does that present as now? Oh, the questions, they just keep coming in this journey. I'll tell you that this journey is so hard, and I know you know because you're on it too. For me, I'm now almost 5 years in. In less than 2 months, it will have been 5 years since I lost Alex to suicide. And I want to share with you so far what I'm doing, how I'm still learning and still evolving, but what the first 5 years have looked like for me in relationship to acceptance and change. And to do that, before I get into my journey, I'll talk just briefly about the Kubler-Ross method of 5 traditional stages of grief that I think is kind of, well, outdated and wasn't initially meant for what it ended up getting interpreted for anyway, but that's a whole nother thing. So originally, those 5 stages were denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And as you know, and so do I, we don't go in this neat and tidy order. And those are not it. Like, that's not it. It wasn't complete enough. So the way that they have kind of redefined the stages that we go through in loss is they've taken denial and added shock. So that shock denial stage is the first. They've added a stage called pain and guilt. And then they've taken anger and bargaining and kind of thrown those in together. And I would agree that that makes much more sense. And then there's depression, which that's debatable on whether everybody's depressed and what that means. But I would believe that on some level, we all experience depression after suicide loss. And then they add a stage called the upward turn. And then they also talk about the reconstruction phase or stage. And then they take the one that I'm kind of talking about now, which is acceptance, and kind of slash that in there with hope. So acceptance and hope as a stage or kind of that final piece. Now, I'll also add in there that that doesn't mean you go through it in that neat order, that you can go back and forth between these stages. And just because you make it kind of to that acceptance and hope stage doesn't mean you're never going to revisit in times of, especially triggered times or anniversary dates that you won't still experience some of the other stages, but it does mean that you've kind of worked your way through your healing process to the place where you're in acceptance and hope. So now I'm going to back up just a little bit and talk about my journey the last 5 years. And when I had to write it all out and really look at it, this is kind of how it's worked for me. So the first year, as I'm sure many of you can relate to, I often refer to it as just a fog. Even before I knew they called grief fog a thing, I just said it was like I was in a fog. I was in shock. I was often numb. And I'm talking just physically feeling numb. I wasn't even taking any medication at the time, because a lot of times people that do take medication talk about maybe feeling a little more numb. And that can actually be the purpose, is to help that. So whether it's, you know, through medication and or our own body, that's kind of how we're being protected in that first year. Because if we weren't in shock, if we weren't in a fog, this type of loss could be more than we could take. So for me, I also want to put in there that the pain and guilt, that second piece, was heavily present during the first year. So then there's some form of denial and even the pain and guilt that carried into the second year. And I'm just going to be honest, for me personally, the second year in many ways was worse. And I think it's because the protection of the shock and fog was wearing off. The fog was lifting, so to speak. And for me, I often referred to it as permanence. The permanence was really setting in that Alex was gone. And the pain of that did give way to depression. And it was just soaking into my bones during that second year. And I later was reading that it's extremely common, especially with traumatic loss, that many grievers will later say the second year feels a little harder. And I'm not sure that it really feels harder or worse, but it's that we're no longer as protected by that shock and denial. So that's kind of where I lived for that second year. And as I went into my third year, I kind of think, if I were to put a name on it, I was still kind of carrying depression with me, but the upward turn kind of came. So I was lost and kind of drifting and trying to figure things out, but I was trying. That was the first time I probably was not just going through motions or doing things that others maybe expected of me, you know, that thing that we do to ourselves. But that was probably for me. Again, every one of us is going to walk our journey differently, but I just think it's helpful to hear what others have gone through. At least it has been helpful for me. So I hope this is helpful in some way. So during that third year, I was just kind of lost and drifting, but that's when I started trying. And so as I went into the fourth year, which was, but for me, that was, would have been between August of 2019 and August of 2020. So the bulk of it was 2020. And for most of us on this planet, that's kind of become this lost year. Like a lot of us don't even, you know, a lot of people say they don't remember a lot that happened in 2020 because people were just at home and weren't going out and weren't interacting and all the things, you know, didn't go to birthday parties. It was kind of like we just, I will tell you that for me, as a suicide loss survivor and a griever, I kind of welcomed the isolation. And for me, in my fourth year, which turned out to be one that I kind of look at as that reconstruction piece. And I remember even several times saying that grievers knew how to put on a mask and live in isolation. We've been doing it for years anyway, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But that actual physical forced isolation, I turned into my reconstruction period, and I turned within, and that's when I really started to look at what my life was could look like and how I could rebuild from the leftover pieces around me. And that's when I started to allow real healing to happen. And that's brought me into my fifth year, which I'm almost at the end of, you know, when I get to August 7th. I'll be at 5 years. And while it doesn't feel any better, my level of acceptance and my hope are somewhere that I never thought they could be. So there's that duality again. I'm being vulnerable and sharing with you that the pain in many ways is still every bit as bad. He's my son and he's gone. However, the work that I've done, the people that I've talked to have helped me so much. And the process of living through this has brought me to a place of acceptance and hope. It's the year that I've taken action, and it's the year that my drive to be able to help others and my clarity of purpose has come into focus. And I will tell you that from the point that I stand at now, I know I'm not there yet, but looking ahead, I can see the possibility of a bridge. And what I mean by that is I feel like the old parts of me that have somewhat been gone, some of those may be gone permanently, but I'm starting to see the possibility of bridging back to some of the old parts of me and figuring out how to integrate them into the new me that I am rebuilding. And because that bridge feels like I can see it in itself is hopeful, because a couple of years ago, when I was in that lost and drifting stage and just starting to try, I wouldn't have seen a bridge. I would have just told you that everything lay in waste from the past and that I was having to rebuild all of it and that there wouldn't be anything I would bring along. And I don't feel that way anymore. I feel like I will slowly be able to add some of the old parts of me that I thought were gone back in as I get stronger. For me, I just have to say that this acceptance piece that, yes, also carries hope with it, has been a real bitch. Maybe in some ways more so than guilt, although maybe they're just each other's twin sister. I have definitely learned, as I know you have, that we cannot change life and what happens to us in this life or happens to others that we love. We can only change how we respond to it. There's also a really short, sweet scene in this same Johnny Depp Alice in Wonderland movie where Alice is looking at the Hatter, who looks forlorn and lost, and he says, "Have I gone mad?" And Alice grabs his little face with her hands and says, "I'm afraid so. You're entirely bonkers. But I'll tell you a secret," she says. "All the best people are." And the Hatter smiles with relief. So I'll conclude today by just saying that though you may not be quite as muchy as you once were, and we all may be a little bit more mad at times than we once were, but just know in other ways, you will be. You can still be so much, muchier. And I think that's something. Talk soon. Grievers, it is my hope that from today, you will take that which serves you and simply leave the rest. If you connect with what you have heard, please subscribe to get notified of my new episodes every week, and please feel free to share it with others in the Suicide Loss community. If you are so led, I would also be honored if you would leave a review so that others might find us more easily. You can find me and always to connect with me at my Instagram, The Leftover Pieces. I want you to know that I know how very, very hard life is now. It's true that we will never be the same, but we are going to be okay. We will figure this out somehow, together. And we will keep our loved ones with us, because there is no getting over or past grief only learning to live more gracefully alongside it. Only through talk can we keep their memories alive, learn to live again, and bring some awareness so that less will suffer. Join me again next week, and we will keep the talk going. We will sign off today, as always, with the wise words of my Alex's favorite, Peter Pan. Never say goodbye, because goodbye means going away, and going away means forgetting. Grievers, no one here is forgetting. Talk soon.